Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the book of Revelation, covering verses 3 through 8 in chapter 21, and we've titled this study, Life with God versus the Lake of Fire. Most of our study will focus on the awesome and almost overwhelming promises that await born-again believers after God's plan of the ages is complete and the great white throne judgment is over. And we'll end with verse 8 and continue our look at who is in the lake of fire and whether that punishment is eternal or if the wicked are only annihilated in future studies. In the meantime, we would urge you to start at the very beginning of our Revelation studies and cover every word with us, beginning in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, by going to bbfohio.com, where you will find playlists for YouTube or sermon audio versions of our studies in the book of Revelation. And you'll also hear these studies played on our 24/7 internet radio station, bbfohioradio.com. And if you're listening and you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, you may send them by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That's email bbbfohio@yahoo.com or U.S. Postal Mail, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now let's begin our study of Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 8, titled Life with God versus the Lake of Fire. This is part one of two.
Jeremy, I'm going to invent a clapper for the Bible. When you lose your Bible, and you just clap, and it'll start to moo at you like this.
I appreciate it.
I didn't do it. Then you say, oh, there it is. All right. Life with God versus Lake of Fire. And that's really what... The choice comes down to,
Amen. And
we're going to look in Revelation 21, some great stuff here, but let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone with us this evening and those who are able to watch online on the live stream, and so many hundreds are watching every week on YouTube and Sermon Audio, and we're just thankful for everyone who loves the Word, who wants to open the book and study it and learn, so that you can change us. None of us have arrived. All of us need your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we're just so thankful for that gift that you've given us, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, and for the book that he gave us and helps us to understand. And so we pray these things, asking for his help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to turn our Bibles to Revelation 21, verses 3 through 8. We're going to start by just reading the text. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 3. Read that with me. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's let it sink in that this day that we just read about is coming.
Amen.
It's for real. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." And what's this? The tabernacle of God is He. It's a He. "He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." That is an amazing... That's one of those you can just read and just sit and kind of think about for a long time.
Amen.
Go into prayer about it. A world where God walks with us. That's heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And God is going to be with us because this is a place that we talked about before, a new heaven and a new earth. The actual planet that you're on right now is fallen.
Amen.
There, if you don't know that, just watch the news. And there's plenty of sin, there's plenty of death, there's plenty of sorrow, there's all kinds of hurt and pain and all these things going on. That's because we live in a world where sin entered whenever Adam and Eve brought sin into humankind, into the human race and into this world. And that sin has resulted in, since that time, death, beginning with the first murderer, Cain, murdering Abel. And from that point on, it's been death. It's been murder. It's been war. It's everything you can think of, every sin you can think of, all goes back to that beginning. But before that, it was a world where Adam and Eve actually walked with God. And it talks in the garden, Adam and Eve walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
I love how it even describes it as the cool of the day. He would walk with the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. God intended for that from the very beginning. And so when you talk about heaven, you're talking about really a new heaven and new earth. And you're talking about this condition where it's going to return to just like it was before the fall.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing to think about. Now, here's a reality check. What we just talked about, what we just read, is a world with no fill in the blank.
Sin.
Very good. What else could you say there?
Death.
No death.
No pain.
No pain.
No
pain. Wait a minute, one at a time.
No. No pride.
No what?
No more crying.
No more crying. Who said liars? Did somebody say liars? No one. No more liars.
No.
Amen. But there's even things that aren't outright sinful that we won't have to worry about. Like, it'll be a place where there's no more politics. And, you know, you're not going to have to go to the doctor.
Amen.
No more doctor appointments.
No more pollution.
No more pollution. I have to take my car into the shop. How many of you are dealing with car issues?
No cars.
World with no car issues.
No darkness.
No Kardashians. Well, unless some of them get saved. But at that time, in that world, they'll be fully clothed and they won't be offensive. Amen? A world with no persecution. Johnny says no tests. Amen.
See ya. Technology.
What?
No technology.
It's according to how you define technology. No human, man-made technology. What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, you mean like this. No more iPhones or, you know.
No sun or moon either.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. Charlie has asked about that, and I said, we'll get to it.
No statues erected to the glory of man.
Yeah, no idols. No more groves. Nobody praying to Mary and all that stuff, you know. And this is what you're talking about when you talk about meditating on the Word of God. This is really what you're doing right here.
Yeah.
You take the Word of God and then you look at it and you think about it. And when we look at this, that's the first thing I thought of is, oh man, this is going to be so great. A world without, and I started thinking of all the things, and I thought, I'll just do this and let them fill in the blank. Amen?
Amen.
It's also important to understand that the following does not happen. What we're about to read does not happen until after the great white throne judgment. It's very important to understand this. We read about in verse 4. Read that with me again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, it's just important to understand this. That doesn't happen until after the tribulation period is over, the millennial kingdom of 1,000 years is over, and the great white throne judgment is over. That's when God will wipe away all tears. Because it's just important, I think, to understand. Because people think, oh, once we die and go to heaven, or we raptured, and then, you know, there's no more tears. Well, the Bible doesn't actually say that.
Amen.
And I believe there's going to be plenty of tears at the great white throne. Not just those who are condemned. And it's like, all I can tell you is this. I believe the reason why this is because when you go to heaven, you don't become an unfeeling robot. You don't lose your emotions. And you're going to be a witness at that great white throne judgment.
Amen.
Now, I've had people ask me this numerous times. Whoa, why in the world would we want to see that? Well, God's not asking you whether you want to. You've got an appointment. And I believe the reason, a biblical basis for us being there at this judgment is to witness the justice of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a hard pill to swallow, but this is a fact. Someone you love who is not saved, who stands before that great white throne having rejected the gospel, and you are going to see when Christians are judged, our sins aren't going to be judged. They've already been judged.
Amen.
And so saved people stand at a different judgment. And we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we are going to be judged according to our works, what kind they are, not whether or not we're saved. That's settled. But these unsaved people are judged according to their works. And it is going to show you why they deserve hell, why they deserve a lake of fire. And even the people we love, we're going to see what we would have seen about you if you didn't get saved.
Amen.
What you would have seen about me, if it wasn't for the fact I'm saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I deserve hell. I deserve a lake of fire. And the only reason you're not going to see that from me is because not what Greg did, but what Jesus did. Every one of us in here have to give that testimony. If you're saved, that's your testimony. That you are going to stand at a great white throne as a witness, but you are going to have been judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're not having your sins judged because of what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Pedro?
Well, I like this when the last thing He said when He died on the cross, He said it is finished. When He finished everything for us, when He shed His blood for us, for everybody who accepted it, it was finished then.
It is finished.
After the great white throne judgment and He threw everybody in the lake of fire, it is done.
It is done.
Everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I want you to understand that we cannot even conceive of this day in our mind. I mean, we talk about it. We just did. We will. But in reality, you and I cannot even conceive of what this day is going to be like. It's kind of... it's like that. Inconceivable. You remember that? No tears.
Amen.
No death. I got to stop here. That's just one that ought to blow us away. And the older you get, the more funerals you end up going to. And what you ought to be reminded of at that funeral, obviously you're there for the person who died and you want to remember them, you want to be a comfort to their loved ones, or it's a comfort to you if they're saved and you know it, and to hear the gospel preached. But I can't help it when I go to these funerals, I just keep thinking about there's coming a day when we won't do this anymore.
Amen.
There's coming a day where we don't have to worry about that phone call. And we don't have to worry about the whole thing that I hate. I just despise. I know it's necessary, and I'm not telling anybody to not, you know, ask me to attend or to preach funerals, because I do them, but I hate them. I hate them. Even the ones that believers are there, I just... folks, death was not God's plan. Now, you know, there's some people who try to get all spiritual about it and say, well, we shouldn't... You shouldn't cry. You shouldn't... No, the Bible says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. It doesn't say we don't grieve. We grieve with hope. Even when that person's lost, we grieve with hope because we know, well, they blew it. But we can be saved. Just think about it. If it wasn't for Jesus and what we know in the Bible, it'd be just a mysterious darkness. And we go to a funeral not knowing whether we're going to see them, and facing our own death not knowing where we're going. That's what every religion that puts your salvation on you and your works does to you. I've seen it. I've seen Roman Catholics. I've seen agnostics. I've seen people in cults. I've seen people who just didn't make their calling election sure. And when they die, they do not have peace. What they have is this darkness of not knowing. And let's say they have a loved one who died without making that sure. Then they go to the funeral and it's gloom. Because they don't know if they're going to see this person again. They don't know where they went. And we can look forward to this time where there's no tears, no death, no sorrow or crying, no pain. Why would you not want that? And it's crazy because people pretend that the reason they don't get saved is because they have some kind of a, you know, big philosophical reason, or, you know, well, I've looked at the Bible and I just don't believe it. No, you're a liar.
Amen.
No one's ever looked at the Bible without going... This is what they always do. They go read the books and the articles and listen to the people who they know will talk them out of their faith in the Bible.
Amen.
I know men who went to seminary and they knew when they went to that seminary that it was an apostate seminary and that they were going to be talked out of their faith in the Word of God. They chose that.
Yep.
It's not because the Bible doesn't leave plenty of proof to demonstrate that it is the Word of God. And people want to trade this in for sin.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Amen. That's it.
They love their sin.
Yep.
And you can disagree with me all you want, but when we stand at that great white throne, I'll be vindicated because that's what the Bible says.
Hallelujah.
John 3:19, Jesus said it, that men love darkness rather than light.
Yep.
Because their deeds were evil. Doesn't say because they had a philosophical objection. They didn't say they had some scientific evidence that refuted. No. Because their deeds are evil. That's why they're going to go to hell. Now I want to sing this song about this because it's the words that are comparable to what we just read. Sing it with me.
When no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be.
Now watch this.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Now, you know, when we get up there, we're going... I don't know why I just said that, but you take what you just experienced, this little crowd, multiply that by I don't know how many. I mean, we're talking billions. If you add everybody who's going to be there from Adam to the end of the millennium who are saved.
Amen, amen.
Oh, whew. That's a great song just because it's so based on, you know, the Bible. These Bible-based songs. You know, that's what I miss about the modern music that Thomas was making us listen to earlier. I'm just kidding. That's it. But it's just there's something missing with most of those songs that they're putting out today. He was listening to 80s stuff. It's still decent back then. But it says, verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said. Now I just want you to look at this. That's Jesus on that throne.
Amen.
Matthew 19:28 said, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. That's what it's talking about. That's when there's a new heaven, new earth, the regeneration. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, if you believe the Bible, you know this is real.
Yes.
If you don't believe the Bible, then you just have your doubts. I mean, it's that simple. Your faith doesn't come from within. And if you've been taught that, you don't understand faith. Faith doesn't come from within. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. Them that believe. I love this. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that what? Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's what you did when you got saved.
Hallelujah.
You believed the testimony of the apostles, which is found in that book you've got in your hands. Believers believe the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That may seem obvious, but many professing believers today also openly reject the Word of God.
Yes.
They're professing believers, but they don't believe the Word of God. And I deal with them every week. I get at least one or two messages by email or some other post where someone is trying to take me down for believing the book. And they claim to be Christians. Believers. Christians are believers. And they believe the Word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, look at this. This is where the gospel message is clearly spelled out. It begins by saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. There is a true belief and a false belief. You write it down, there's a counterfeit for everything. And Satan has come up with a counterfeit in this day and age. And there's a lot of people professing to be Christians who have a false belief. It's counterfeit. There is a belief that is in vain according to what we just read from the Bible.
Amen.
It's a belief that is in vain. James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God? thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That is anybody who rejects the Bible as the only infallible book on the planet. That's the kind of belief they have. Anybody who rejects Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you reject that, then that's the kind of faith you have. Peter preached in the book of Acts, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You reject that, that's the kind of faith you have. Amen. Professing Christians who do not believe the Bible have the faith of devils.
That's right.
And that would include anybody in this room, but I don't think there's anybody here like that. But if you do not believe that Bible, you have the faith of devils. If you make it up, you have, well, I have my own faith. Congratulations, welcome to the nut house. That is not Christianity. When people look at you and they say, well, what I think is, I don't care.
Amen.
Well, to me it seems like, no, I don't care. What does, thus saith the Lord, the Bible says should be the first thing out of your mouth. Well, the Bible says, well, God says, we over here in Matthew, or over here in Romans, or over here in Revelation. But that's not what most people seem like today. The next verse begins with a clear reference to the deity of Jesus Christ. And there is a growing number of professing Christians who reject that deity of Jesus Christ and say that he's just another one of the saviors of the world, or he was a created being. Any of those things, it's false. Revelation 21:6 begins by saying, and he said unto me, it is done. Amen, Pedro.
Amen.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And there are people who argue and say, well, that's not saying he's God. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord. That's because that's God.
Amen.
There's one Lord, one God. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God.
Amen.
You better find out who that is. Amen?
Amen?
The first and last is Alpha and Omega, is the beginning and the end.
Amen.
If you see Jesus identified as any, he's identified as all. He's that Lord God that we read about. In Revelation 22:13, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the God we just read about in Isaiah 44.
Amen.
Jesus is God. And verse 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now look at this. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's an interesting verse. The references to the water of life, I believe, is the same thing as living waters. Waters of life, living waters. And are both spiritual and a future tangible reality. There's a spiritual truth, but there's also a tangible truth. In other words, the spiritual, John 7:38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? That's you and I whenever we are saved and we preach the gospel. That's it. You get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit in you, and then when you preach the gospel, that is the living waters flowing out of you. You can't...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.